Okay.
Yeah, good morning. Pastor's not here today, and I'm going to be preaching this morning. And the topic today is going to be, so you know we've been going through the life course for the last few weeks, and Mike was talking about the turning just a few minutes ago, and the idea is that we go through these topics that allows us to share our faith informally with a friend, a colleague, or somebody who is just curious about the faith. Yeah? And some of the topics we've covered, who's in the slides for me? Could you move the next one, please? Yeah, some of the topics we've covered are on the screen there. What's wrong? Jesus who? Being there, being sure, talking to God, which I covered, praying, learning from God, the Bible, in the family, the body of Christ, being baptized, power for living, the fruits, the gifts of the Spirit, the tug of war between the flesh and the Spirit, enemy action, I bind you, Satan, bread and wine that we just covered, the communion, and gifts for all. And the last topic here that we're going to be doing in the series is, what should I do? What should I do? So you've been speaking to a friend at work, you've been talking to your children perhaps, and you've been reflecting on the Christian faith. And they come up with these questions on the screen. Yeah? So we're going to do a little exercise this morning. Frank is a builder. It could be Tony, it could be Cheryl. He's just a builder. Yeah? And he's painted his neighbor's house this summer for £100. He got £100. Yeah? He doesn't know whether to declare it on his tax return. What should he do? This is where you're allowed to get very spiritual. What should he do? I'm not saying what do you do. I'm saying what should he do? Speak. Yeah? So that's an easy one. Sorry, who's asking the question? Femi, what should he do? I gotta put you on the spot, man. You spoke. Technically. He should declare it. Come on. That's the easy one. Let's not hang up on the easy one. There's some tough ones coming. Shirley wants to go to a very important church meeting. So that could be Fumi. That could be Babs. I want to go to a very important church meeting. But her mom is ill and wants her to stay with her for a change. What do you think? Stay with her. Stay with her. Those are the moms speaking there. Karen misses her dad. That's supposed to be dad, actually. Not her day. Misses her dad who passed away recently. Someone you and Karen both know has suggested that Karen went to a spiritualist church, but she doesn't know if she should. What do you think? Definitely not. Why? A spiritualist church. Okay, hold that thought. You're going to have to Google that, because that's a whole sermon in its own right. That's a whole sermon in its own right. Just met a fine young man working in my office in London or Manchester, wherever it is he work. I'm a Christian and he's a Muslim, but I'm in love with him. What do you think? Yeah? This is a trick question. Yeah, this is a trick question. Because I said, just met a fine young man. I didn't say I'm a boy or a girl, right? Now it's getting even more complicated. Yeah? So the topic we're covering today really is, what should I do? Because those are the kind of questions, and there are many more complicated ones that face us as Christians. Yeah? The topic of homosexuality is there, gender, this and gender. You know, there's so much there that when you're faced with a question, well, what do you do? What advice do you give? Yeah? And especially when the topic is closer. So sometimes it's easy to just quote scripture. the Bible says we shoot a rocket. Yeah, but when it's closed. So what I'm going to cover today is going to address some of those points. Yeah. Yeah. And I think if I would have said to us to discuss amongst ourselves, you know, some of them are very clear cut, but some of them would generate a lot of discussion. Yeah. One of the things I recall while I was preparing for this sermon was one of the, in our home group, and I think we were talking about God's love, the love of God. I think it was, we were teaching about the love of God, and we were talking about how God's love is unconditional, unmerited. We were talking about His grace, and somehow we moved on to the topic of homosexuality, about whether it's a sin or whether it's not a sin, and so on. And we began to delve into that, looking at the biblical perspective, but as well as the human perspective as well. We began to look into that. And there was this lady in the room. She didn't say anything. She was just listening as we were talking through. Yeah? And as we came to the end, she then spoke up. And this was a topic that was so close to her. We dwelled on the topic, and you know, homosexuality is a sin. As far as the Bible is concerned, it is a sin. There's no debating that. But God still loves the sinner. And one of the things that we Christians often struggle with is loving the sinner. Yeah? We stand behind Scripture, which is true, we should stand behind Scripture, but we forget the fact that it is love that conquers all. Yeah? It is love. God loves us irrespective. Yeah? There's stuff that I do that He doesn't like. You know? And sometimes, and I think this is what we're talking about on that day, as Christians, sometimes we get ourselves into a position where we start to grade sin. There is small sin, medium-sized sin, and large-sized sin. We give it categories. But in God's eyes, sin is sin. If you don't declare the 100 pounds, it's a sin. And so when you get to that point where sin is sin, then we only stand by grace. We only stand because of His love. We only stand by grace. And so when you share your faith with somebody who is from a different perspective, from a different background, always remember that you yourself only stand because of God's love and His unmerited favor. Because if you remind yourself of that point, you cannot be judgmental. You cannot be judgmental. God has not called us to judge. Man, I just went off the rails there. That was not even in my sermon. What am I doing? Okay, let's go back to the slides. So when we look at those points, we need to look at them from the biblical perspective. But I would say moderated by love. Moderated by love. Here's what the Bible says. The natural man does not receive the things of God because they are foolishness to him, nor can he or she know or even accept them because these are spiritually discerned. And so you as a Christian, you are able to spiritually discern these facts, these principles in the Bible, but you then need to be able to communicate that to somebody else so that they can get it. And you need the grace of God to give you the wisdom to do that sharing. Very often it takes a revelation of the Holy Spirit, either directly or through His written word, to guide us in our Christian walk. And the Bible gives us perspectives on the choices that we should make. And God, by His Spirit, He guides us through. Now, God makes a promise to us. Next slide, please. God makes a promise to us. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule. You know, he tells you, I will teach you, I will counsel you. Yeah? God promises to teach us. Now, if God's going to teach us, if He's going to instruct us, we need to kind of understand, well, what exactly does God want us to do? Yeah? And that takes me to the next section in the slide. Well, what does God want us to do? What does he want us to do when we are faced with these choices, with these questions? Yeah? God loves us. We've established that fact. And he has the best intentions and plans for our lives. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." That said, we are expected to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they killed the animals and they put them on the altar as a sacrifice. In the New Testament, we are the living sacrifice. Of course, the difference between us and the animals being slaughtered is we often walk off the altar. Yeah? Very often we walk off the altar. Yeah? We walk off the altar. And so he has to call us back. Yeah? Romans 12:1-2. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this brings me to the topic of submission. 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 We need to be willing to do whatever God wants, being a living sacrifice, as I said earlier on. But often this means choosing between what pleases you and what pleases God. And of course, as New Testament Christians, we follow the example of Jesus Christ, which is an incredibly high standard. Yeah? Submission to God's will is often hampered by the ongoing tension in our lives between the spirit and the flesh. Romans 8 puts it like this: there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so, again, when we share the faith, it's not about quoting the law. Because just as I've read, the law is unable to address the issue of sin. All the law does, it tells me that I'm a sinner. That's all the law does. It tells me I'm a sinner, tells me I cannot measure to God's standard. That really doesn't help me. Yeah? It's the Spirit, it's the love of God that draws me nearer to him. It's what he has done about my sin that draws me nearer to him. So what should I do? We need to be out there in action for God. That's what this series is about, really. Life, discovering new life with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not just about learning and assimilating and acquiring all this knowledge, but it's being able to share our faith in a way that persuades other people of God's love for them, persuades other people that actually coming to Christ is not a sentence to prison. Yeah? Coming to Christ does not mean you're shackled. Yeah? But very often we come to church. You know, we do the worship, we listen to the sermon, we go back home, come back next week, and we'll do it all over again. The Bible calls us the salt of the earth. Salt, in the Old Testament times, was used to preserve. We Christians today, we need to ask ourselves, are we still salt of the earth? Yeah? Are we making an impact? Because that's the expectation. We need to be impacting where we are. Yeah? Somebody asked a question, I think it was last home group actually. And this is about, I'm still on the other side. It's about st- stepping out and asking for God. And I think she was saying that sometimes we pray and we do nothing. We just pray, because we don't want to do something. We pray for the whole world to be converted, but I'm in my house doing nothing. And sometimes we run before it is right, you know. And what God wants you to do is to pray and then step out and do stuff. Yeah, and step out and do stuff. If you look at Paul's vision, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia. Paul and his companions had traveled throughout Phrygia, Galatia, but the Holy Spirit had kept them from preaching the word in Asia. So when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them, so they went by towards Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." He was in motion. And then God revealed the next step of the plan to him. And that's how the gospel went into Macedonia. So what does God want us to do? What should I do? What should you do? Spend time with God daily. Next slide, please. Spend time. Daily prayer, Bible reading, very important. It's the only way to really get to know God and His Word. It's the only way. The Bible is full of God's promises, His purposes, you know, it's the operations manual for the Christian. Yeah? I never read the manual. I get an iPhone, I never read the manual. I get a car, who has time for that? I never do. Until I see a red light. Have no clue what that means. Get the book out. Yeah? And our Christian world shouldn't be like that. But sometimes it is. We don't read the Bible. We don't pray. We don't. And then when we hit problems, oh my God, we phone the pastor. So he comes and reads the Bible to you and then prays with you, and then you feel better. You could have done that yourself. Yeah? So also is a Christian trying to go through life with a limited knowledge of God and a small understanding of His Word. See, I used to argue with Christians when I was in university. I mean, I grew up as a Christian, but I was way, let's say, out of there. So I used to argue. I knew scripture. So I'll toss them a scripture and we'll argue about it. And I found out that a lot of people didn't really know their Bible. So you toss them a scripture here, they defend it, then you toss them another one, and then they're caught. You see, of course, Christianity is not about knowing everything in the Bible. But I think that as a Christian, you need to be very clear what you believe in. You need to be very clear of the fundamental things that you believe in. There is a lot in the Bible that is not clear. I'll tell you that for free now. So we did a Bible study of Revelation, and we were talking about the end times. When is Jesus coming back? I never had so much debate in my home group until then. Some thought He was coming before pre-tribulation. Some said He was coming between, in the middle of tribulation. Some said He's coming after. And we were all divided. On those matters, the Bible has remained vague because they're not really that critical. At least to me. The most important thing is to make sure that you are on the bus going to heaven. It doesn't matter when it comes. Make sure you're on it. Then you're okay. If it comes before, mid, or later, it's okay. I think that's the most important thing. So the Bible is very clear on the fundamentals of the faith. Love, sacrifice, Christ, you know, it's very clear on those things. The matter of sin is dealt with in the Bible. Yeah, the solution is Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes somebody will challenge you that Christians, you people are not perfect. You know, how can you say you're going to heaven? Well, heaven is not for perfect people. It's for those who accept Christ. Yeah? I mean, who's perfect? But if you don't know your Bible enough, you start to think, if I'm not that perfect, what am I bothering with? But if you know your Bible, if you know that the journey going to heaven is not about you, it's about what you do with what Jesus did. It's your response to what Jesus did that determines. Then it's a different conversation you're having. Yeah? So how does God show you what to do? We were reflecting last week at the home group, trusting God in turbulent times. And I'm sure we agree that the UK is definitely going through times of turbulence at the moment. You know, government versus parliament. Shut them down. Change the law. I don't even know where they are now. I think they're on holiday now. But they're trying to come back. Yeah? Yeah, they're trying to put a prime minister in prison. And, you know, I don't know. And it's not as if this political turbulence is just, that's it. It's in addition to whatever it is you folks are going through in your lives, right? It's in addition to putting food on the table, sending the kids to uni. It's on top of that. So what do you do? Well, there are six ways in which God shows you what he wants you to do. And since God doesn't contradict himself, so if you find a few of these things applying to you, he's probably talking to you. The Bible is our reference point in terms of how God wants us or expects us to behave and act as Christians. The Bible is clear on what is critical. Yeah? The Bible is very clear on that. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." I like the way it says in verse 11, "How can a young man stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So if you're not reading the Bible every day, there's nothing there. Sin comes easy. Sin comes easy. And sin unaddressed grows. It grows. It's 100 pounds for the friends, then it's 1,000 pounds, then it's 100 grand. And then one day the taxman catches you. Then you've got to pay it all back anyway. Because sin has consequences. That's the truth. Yeah? The other way that God tells you what to do is common sense. I know, no sense is common. But God gave us a brain. And very often we do the most stupid of things. Yeah? God gave us a brain and he expects us to use it when making decisions. The other thing is to observe things that happen. Sometimes something might seem impossible. But if it's God's will, he can arrange the events to make it possible without you having to force things. You know what I'm talking about? There's this big mountain in front of you, and you quote the Bible at it. The Bible says, take the mountain to command it to drop into the sea, and it still stays there. It doesn't move. The problem doesn't move. But you keep on praying, and then 6 months later, you realize it's gone. You somehow made it through. God still does miracles. Yeah? God still does the impossible. God still does the impossible. I like the way the Bible puts it in Revelation. It says, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David, the one who can shut." Sorry, the one when he opens, no one can shut. And when he shuts, no one can open. Yeah? Nothing is impossible with God. By faith, we believe that all things are possible with God. But this should not be taken to mean that God will do everything we want, or that God will do everything we ask, or that God will do everything we pray about. Yeah? That confused me a bit. I thought if I pray, the matter is resolved. But the Bible says pray according to his will. Yeah? Nothing is impossible, but we don't command God through our prayers. I think you agree, right? Or do we? We don't command God with prayer. Because that would make us God, right? And we are not. We pray to him, and then we wait in faith for his response. Sometimes he will say yes, sometimes he will say no, sometimes he will say not yet. Sometimes it's not good for you, what you're praying for. Yeah? How does God tell us what he wants us to do? The leading of the Holy Spirit. There are times when the Holy Spirit clearly guides the person to do or say something. For example, When Simon the sorcerer, who practiced his trade in Samaria, attempted to pay Paul so that he too could receive the power of, he saw the power of God in action. The apostles were laying hands on people. People were getting healed. Amazing things were happening. He thought to himself, if I can get some of that, I can increase my business profitability, right? So he said to the man of God, lay hands on me, please. But his intentions were incorrect. But God revealed it to the apostle that these guys' intentions were not right. Yeah? God revealed his motives were inappropriate. In another example, we see Paul, who had been religiously persecuting the church, come face to face with Christ on his road to Damascus. You all know the story. His first encounter with Christ left him blinded. God then spoke in a vision to Ananias and sent him to Paul to lay hands on him so that he could restore his sight. Ananias was led by the Spirit to go lay hands on some guy who is going around killing Christians. Yeah? In the natural, he wouldn't do that. Ananias pushed back. I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles. Saul became Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Okay? Another example, when the Holy Spirit leads, is when Peter fell into a trance. And he saw this shit coming down from heaven with all these strange looking animals. And the Spirit said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. He said, no, I don't eat any unhealthy stuff. Sorry, unholy stuff. Yeah? I was thinking about McDonald's there. Yeah? But the Holy Spirit told him, I'm sending you out to the Gentiles, and that's why we have the gospel today. Yeah? How does God speak to Christians? He speaks to experienced Christians as well. So God will speak to you through folks who are more experienced than you. Your parents, your pastor, people in church. God talks to you through people. Very often I'm waiting on God to speak to me and I'm ignoring what everybody else is saying. Because I want to do what I want to do. Even though I know deep down, this is not what God wants. And everybody is saying it's not. But I'm not listening. That's pride. That's pride. Yeah? The advice of experienced Christians. And the fundamental thing that I always say is, when you get advice, when you get a word of prophecy, when you get a, you know, whatever it is, take your Bible, read it. If it clashes with what the Bible says, discount it. Some guy lays hands, so you start praying in tongues, he then interprets and he's saying stuff to you, and you look in the Bible, he's like, what is he saying? Just delete the guy. Just delete it. The Bible is your reference point. Yeah? Honestly, not podcasts, not even sermons, because what you're hearing is my interpretation of Scripture. You need to go back and read the Bible and pray over it and ask God to reveal to you. Yeah? You can't live on what other people are saying, because the truth you know is what sets you free. Not your mom's truth, not your dad's truth, not the pastor's truth. It could be the same truth, which is okay. Might not be if you don't lock into that truth. You shall know the truth, and it will set you free. You can't know the truth if you don't read your Bible. You can't know the truth if you don't pray. You can't know the truth if you're not sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. God expects us to do our duty, to exercise proper and spirit-led judgment. Sometimes we hide behind church and other Christian activities. So that was an example there, one of the examples we looked at earlier on, where she wants to go for a meeting in church, and her mom needs her to look after, and everyone said she should look after her mom, which is the right answer. But how many times do we prioritize church over stuff that's more important, like family? How many times do we do that? There's an example in your handout. The guy tells them at work, I think the guy takes a day off sick because he's going out to witness. And he said the Spirit told him to do so. That wasn't the Holy Spirit for sure. That was the human spirit told you to do so. Yeah? The Holy Spirit is never wrong, but the human spirit, often wrong. Yeah? When God gives you a job, He expects you to put your best into the job. He doesn't expect you to skive and use Him as an excuse to skive. Yeah? He expects us to do our duty. He expects us to be gainfully employed, to do our job as diligently as possible. There's a passage in the message I want to read to you. Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye on obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servant, doing what God wants you to do. Walk with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter what happens, no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. I'm struggling with that scripture right there. Yeah? Walk with a smile, always. I've been on calls when I'm like not smiling, man. Yeah? Walk with a smile on your face, keeping in mind that no matter what happens, no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you are serving God ultimately. We need to remember that. I need to remember that. Because I tell you now, I confess my sins. Sometimes I'm not smiling. No, I'm not. Yeah? The real master that we serve is Christ. And His guide is that, you know, work at it. So in summary, I think it's the next slide. I might have gone. Yeah, thank you. What should I do? Life is full of difficult choices. God has provided us with a set of tools to inform the choices and the decisions that we make. In many cases, some of these choices are much more difficult to make than others. And it is at those times that we need the guidance that God provides in His Word, the leading of the Holy Spirit, pastoral guidance, and guidance from experienced Christians. But I want to leave you with these few points. Believe that God loves you. Very important. Believe that God loves you and wants the best for you. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. Be willing to do whatever He wants you to do. And I know that is easier said than done. But try. Try. Day at a time. Step at a time. Be willing to do whatever God wants. James urges us to submit to God, resist the devil. But very often, we need to resist ourselves, not the devil. Some of the things I've done in my past, I can't blame it on the devil. It's just me being stubborn. It's me being difficult. Or as my wife might say, it's just me being me. Yeah? I can't blame everything on the devil. So there are times when we have to resist ourselves. We have to resist the urges that we have. And submitting to God is not a one-time act that we do. It's a lifelong process because of the ongoing war between my spirit and my flesh. I wish we could just submit on Monday and we are done. That's not the way it is. Every day, every choice, every challenge, every situation, remind yourself, submit to God. Submit to the will of God. Yeah? And be out there. Be in action for God. Our God is a God of action. He expects us to be there, acting in His best interest, representing Him. And there are times when we're going to make a mess of it. There are times when we're going to make a mistake. That's why I like God. He forgives you. And you can carry on. He forgives us. Yeah? Yeah? That's the one thing that His mercy endures forever. His mercy never ends. I like the scripture that says His mercy goes from one generation to the next generation. God was merciful to my parents. He was merciful to my mom for sure. I remember the day I took the car and crashed it, almost died. She was merciful. He's been merciful to me. And I know He will be merciful to our children as well. And I think that's a comforting thing. God's mercy, regardless, never fails, never ceases. Yeah? Let me read James to you in the message. It says, let God work His will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and He will be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom. And you know, if you read the message, it's like your friend is telling you what the Bible is supposed to be saying. Yeah? Let God work His will in you. I spoke about spending time with God daily. And I spoke about how God shows His will to us through the Bible, through common sense, through things that happen, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So what should I do? Let's pray. Let us pray. Lord, I thank You because You are a faithful God. I thank You, Lord, because You are a loving Father. Thank You, Lord, because Your mercies are new every morning. I thank You, Lord, because Your love on us, Your grace upon us, does not rely on us. It's unmerited and it's freely given. And Lord, as we contemplate, as we reflect on these words, on today's sermon, on today's message, as we reflect, Lord, I pray that You will speak to each and every one of us where we are today, Lord. Remind us, Lord, that You love us. Remind us, Lord, that You have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord, draw us nearer to You in prayer, in study of Your word. Draw us nearer to You in fellowship, in relationship with You, Lord. And Father, when we are faced with those choices, Lord, speak to us, Lord. Tell us which way to go, left or right. Tell us which choices to make. And Lord, continue to guide us, continue to direct us, and continue to be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.